Well, you're my pineapple, baby, let me be your mango man. You're my pineapple, baby, let me be your mango man.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Tracy Bentley, the Executive Director with the Colorado Petroleum Council.
Tracy Bentley, Executive Director of the Colorado Petroleum Council.
And thank you for joining us today here at the Crude Life Media Network. Appreciate your time. And, you know, we were talking a little bit off the air that, you know, my radio audience is a Wyoming, a Montana, a North Dakota, South Dakota, and a Minnesota audience, but our social media is 350,000. So we have a nice foothold, if you will, within the industry. So that's the reason why we wanted to reach out to Colorado, because, and we'll get to that after a bit, but they've got something going on there that's really interesting that I truly believe the industry needs to hear about, that this is well beyond a Colorado issue, and we're going to get into that in a moment. But first, let's just kind of set the table, if you will, Tracy. What's going on out there with, I believe it's called Proposition 112?
That's exactly right. So Proposition 112 is on the Colorado ballot this year. Voters will vote it up or down on November 6th. And Proposition 112 increases statewide setbacks from oil and gas facilities to 2,500 feet. To give you an idea, right now they're they are 500. This measure would increase it to 2,500 feet. It would also allow local governments to go beyond 2,500 feet if they wanted to.
Explain that last part, to go beyond 2,500.
Sure. So there's a provision in the measure that says 2,500 would become the new baseline setback, the minimum requirement, if you will. But if I'm City X and I decide I want it to be further because that's not enough, we want it to be 5,000 feet, this proposition gives them the authority to do that.
Okay. And where is industry in this? When I say industry, of course, I'm talking about the oil and gas industry. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but just what are you hearing from people within the industry, and what's their general feeling on this?
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, we are adamantly opposed, and we're putting on a campaign to hopefully try and stop this. But industry in general, we have about 230,000 oil and gas employees in the state of Colorado, and I can tell you there's a lot of fear out there, because should Proposition 112 pass, it will effectively serve as a ban on new oil and gas development. So we have a lot of folks out there. I mean, we're over 6% of Colorado's economy. And when you put an entire industry in jeopardy like this, and I'm going to talk, and actually it's not just our industry in jeopardy, but we certainly have a lot of our oil and gas workforce who are afraid if this passes, what are they going to do? You know, where are they going to go for work? How are they going to afford to live? So it's a very troubling time in Colorado. But I want to hit on something that I just alluded to. I think the proponents, the activists, the keep it in the ground folks, who are the folks running this, thought that they were just really going to take it to the oil and gas industry with Proposition 112. But in actuality, what happens is if it passes, the very first year alone, we would lose 43,000 jobs. And by year 12, we'd lose about 150,000 jobs. The interesting thing about this is, of those jobs lost, 77% of the jobs are not going to come from oil and gas. We're looking at retail, hotel and lodging, construction, healthcare, teachers. This is just not about oil and gas by any stretch of the imagination. This is about Colorado's entire economy.
Well, you bring up a really good point, and I want to get back to those job numbers in just a moment, but we have this up in the Bakken and up in the Dakotas, if you will, where coal, they always talk about, you know, shutting down the coal plants and doing all this other stuff. You know, like 90% of electricity up in the Dakotas comes from coal. And I keep thinking, like, why are these people not fleshing through or thinking through this? It's such knee-jerk extremism reactions to where, you know, like you mentioned, that 77% of these job loss are going to come from non-oil and gas jobs. That is so true. I mean, if you go and take a look at so many different studies, when they talk about jobs being created in a community, very few of them are actually oil and gas ones. They're just the ones that are the engine behind so many other jobs in the supporting service or the ancillary market, if you will. I want to ask you about this PricewaterhouseCoopers American Petroleum Institute study where it says that 292,900 jobs, 78,300 directly, and nearly $31.4 billion in economic impact for Colorado. So when we're talking about several hundred thousand jobs, I would imagine this is, of course, over several years, and almost 80,000 of them directly oil and gas. But we're talking $31.5 billion economic impact for Colorado. When you say that there's a fear and that people are very much afraid, that's not an exaggeration, is it? This is literal definition words coming out of the dictionary.
You are exactly right. And yes, there's huge fear that some out-of-state interest groups allowed or decided to put something as reckless as this on the ballot. I mean, we have local governments across our state saying if 112 passes, that is our revenue that we use to build roads, that we use to build schools, that we use to fund our first responders. We have, in the very rural parts of Colorado, we have school districts who the oil and gas tax revenue is over 95% of their total income for their schools. They'll have to shut down. We've talked to numerous of volunteer fire departments who said, without you guys here, we can't afford to operate, so we will have to shut down. So the devastating impacts that are going to ripple across our state almost immediately are going to be absolutely devastating. And there's no other industry inside this state or out that's going to step in and contribute right off the bat $32 billion to Colorado's economy.
Has there been numbers of what percentage of land will be out of access for oil and gas? Is it 50%, 60%, something like that?
Yep. So 85% of our non-federal surface acreage in Colorado will be taken off the table for oil and gas development. 94% of this non-federal area, service area in our state's top five producing oil and gas counties will be unavailable. So statewide, 85%. But when you look at our top producing counties, of which I live in Well County, which is number one, 94% of surface land is off the table for Well County. So that's why when we say it's a ban, that it certainly serves it. When 85% of land is off the table and you can't produce, that's effectively a ban.
What would that do to your county? If you're talking about that much of a percentage is oil and gas revenue, what would that do to your county?
It will destroy our county's economy. Well over 55% of Well County's economy comes from oil and gas. We produce 80% of our state's oil and natural gas right out of Well County. So Well County will certainly take the biggest hit, although, again, this is going to be a statewide devastation, but Well County will absolutely feel it the most.
Oh, I'm thinking of, like, I think it's Fallon County in Montana, where that's where the off-ramp for the Keystone Pipeline is. And, of course, you have Billings County in North Dakota where, it's kind of those hotbeds, if you will, of good drilling, land. And well, I'm just thinking of how that would – I don't know how a business could make it in there
well,
if they did.
Right. And,
yeah, from a gas station.
That's exactly right. So much of the small business in Well County is – almost completely dependent on the oil and gas industry workers coming in and dining every day, using the facilities. And so you take those workers out and we're going to see small Main Street shops, family-owned businesses dry up and go away. Another thing I'd like to tell people is...
Tracy Bentley, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought for just a second. We are talking with Tracy Bentley, Executive Director with the Colorado Petroleum Council, about Proposition 112. We're going to continue the interview in just a moment. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Because I'm back to the way. Oh, oh, oh.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
All we need is four wheels, a full gas tank, and a few miles left. Where all the lonesome souls go? Who wrote their songs of living? And now it's our souls left. For the giving, we already know how it's done. Let's put our lives on hold and run, dodging the clouds and heading.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? Nothing. You need a raise.